To hear your word this day, afresh and anew, speaking in our hearts. Open our eyes to see the wisdom of your word. Open our ears to hear it, open our hearts to receive it, that by the power of your spirit at work in us, we may live to glorify your name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it wasn't the first time, and it won't be the last, that a king living in a sexually immoral relationship with a woman found himself at odds in living with the kingdom of God. Royalty, sexual scandal, and religion is a potent mix in which the conflicts of the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God has often been played out. David and Bathsheba, for example. Today, Herod and Herodias. Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn. Wallace and Mrs. Simpson. And in our own day, even our own king and queen. Kings of this world often find themselves in conflict with the kingdom of God. And it's that way because there is always a conflict between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of heaven. It's played out here in our scripture reading. As we understand that the earthly kingdom is a kingdom of death, and the kingdom of God is the kingdom of life. It's set within the speculation as to who Jesus is. Jesus has been doing his thing. His name has become renowned, and they're wondering who he is. Some say Elijah, some say a prophet. John has challenged Herod in his kingship in the midst of this speculation. He's been telling Herod how he should really live. So Jesus comes along doing wondrous things. There's speculation that John has come back from the dead. We can see that there in verse 14. Herod believes it to be true. Herod said, "John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead." Sorry, verse 16. For Herod, if Jesus is John back from the dead, that would explain the remarkable things that he was hearing Jesus was doing. Jesus spoke of a new kingdom coming. He spoke of a different way of life. And here's Jesus showing those things in reality. If he's been down to the dead and come back again, then it's possible for anything to happen. John hadn't performed the powerful healings, so something had to be done to account for what he saw Jesus doing, this new life. Because the kingdoms of this world are forced to take notice of the kingdom of God. Because when faced with the challenge of the kingdom of God, earthly kingdoms are shown to be kingdoms of death. Herod had aspirations, as all the Herodians did, to be taken as the true kings of the Jews. Their dynasty had invested in the 40-year rebuilding of the temple. And this Herod was entertaining John because he knew him to be a godly and truthful man. He was interested in God's ways. When Herod heard he had heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. John was speaking of a different king, however, a very different king from Herod. John was saying the true king of the Jews would never behave like Herod. God's anointed man would never live immorally with another man's wife. Herod was way out of line. And John told him straight, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He could never be the true king of the Jews. His kingdom was in conflict with the kingdom of God. So there's going to be a death. If Herod wants to live in God's kingdom, he's going to have to die to his own agenda and live for God. But if he wants to stick to his own ways, then he will die to the kingdom of God. And John, living steadfastly for God's kingdom, gets killed in the process. The man living for the kingdom of God in the palace of the earthly king is done away with because of that conflict. No matter how much he wanted to, Herod couldn't have both his own kingdom and the kingdom of God. And my experience is just that. In all the churches I've been in, there's been someone to set themselves to living together with another person outside of marriage. And those who have persisted have found themselves in conflict with the church, in spiritual danger. They found themselves uncomfortable. Eventually, they've left the church. Not because the church fails to accept them, but because they find themselves in spiritual conflict with the kingdom of God. They want to do as they please, and yet they want the benefits of the kingdom. It can't be like that, because there are kingdoms on earth which are the kingdoms of death, and then there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of life. Secondly, earthly kingdoms are kingdoms of imprisonment, but the kingdom of God is a kingdom of freedom. John has already been put in prison by Herod, telling him the truth. Herodias, his wife, nurses a grudge against John because he's persisted in his message, and Herod protects him from Herodias until she gets her chance. The opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. You see, the problem is that Herod has invited all the powerful people of the neighborhood to his party, where he is going to be kingly amongst the kings, as it were. All those who held power and influence come to his table, and Herod takes his place amongst them. He can do whatever he wants as king, with the power and the words to do it. So then the daughter of Herodias dances before the king, and he's pleased with it, showing off before them all, and he promises by his powerful word that he would give her anything up to half his kingdom as a reward. What power is that? Anything up to half my kingdom you can have. And they are the words, of course, that undo him. Like any campaign promise from a politician in these days, you said this. Give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. What could the king do? Though he was king, though he could do anything, yet he was imprisoned by his own power. He'd made an oath on the matter. He'd made it in front of all his guests whom he'd wanted to impress. If he refused, of course, it would mean the king's word would stand for nothing. How foolish. How foolish to trust a politician, hey? He would lose the credibility. It would undermine his authority. The guests expected the king to exercise power over life and death. And Herod was caught in his own trap, imprisoned by his desire for power. And the fact that he hadn't meant it to happen just shows how confining that power is. He wasn't free at all. He was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. Herod was at the mercy of the power that he wanted for himself. Now John, languishing down there in the dungeon, was always free. Free to speak the truth and to do what was right. Herod feared John, knowing him to be righteous and holy, says the text. Even in prison, John was free to speak because he was not out to impress anyone, and indeed because his life was subject to the kingdom of God. He didn't want the power, he just wanted to see the power of God's kingdom release people from their sins. And John would continue that way as long as there was breath in his body, because he was free. The only constraint on John was the calling of God on his life. And such a conflict will confront us all. It often confronts us. Often we're not free because our own kingdom is in opposition with the kingdoms of God. So when I was young, my parents separated and divorced. And that makes children very angry. And there was a very wise person who helped me more than they ever know, and actually don't even know that they did help me. When I was struggling with the anger, they simply said to me, well, they didn't set out to do it. And that's right. They didn't set out to do it. People don't set out to do many things. To have an affair, to divorce, to oppress the truth, to speak rashly, to put God's prophets to death. We don't mean to do those things, but we find we do. We don't set out in life to do them, but somewhere along the way it happens. Not intending to do it, but somehow being unable to avoid it. Like Herod, trapped and imprisoned instead of free. But God calls his people to live in the kingdom of life and freedom. Perhaps, like John, to pay the price of doing so. Because even if we are to die for the kingdom of God, well, that wouldn't be the end of it. So we're told at the end of this sad event that on hearing of this, John's disciples came, took his body, and laid it in the tomb. John was dead, but there were others who carried the message on. Some became disciples of Jesus and continued after his death to speak the truth. And they do so today. This is a sad and ugly story, but there is hope that God and his truth will always be proclaimed, that the kingdom of life and freedom of which John spoke and in which he lived will win in the end. And in the end, every knee will bow to God, the King of all kings, through our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ.